Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. The District Court's order lifting the protective order in this case should be reversed. It was legal error for the District Court to conclude that there is a presumption of public access to discovery materials that are never filed with the Court, never used in any judicial proceeding. This morning, I will explain that under the current rules, no presumption should apply to such materials, and that without that presumption, there was good cause to maintain confidentiality here. And for the remainder of our arguments, we rest on our briefs.
Ms. Kasper, let me ask you sort of an inquiry. Why didn't the city object to the intervention of Mr. Calvin in the district court?
Your Honor, the case law does permit intervention by members of the media or the public. And has held in the Jessup case, in particular, in this court.
This case had been settled before he tried to intervene, right?
It had been, Your Honor, and that certainly would increase the defendant's reliance interest on the protective order in this case. However, because the case law does permit intervention by the members of the media or the public, and that is the method for challenging a protective order, we did not object to his intervention, and this court allowed the intervention of the alderman on appeal.
Well, I understand about the alderman. Now, that was sort of a strange thing, too, how that came about, because the case was over when they sought to intervene in the district court.
That's
but
correct.
But did the settlement agreement provide for no release of that information?
I don't believe that it did, Your Honor, no.
The Jessup case and the other cases permitting media intervention had to do with filed
They did, Your Honor.
Not unfiled discovery materials, and so it seems to me the analysis is somewhat different.
Your Honor, I agree with that. The objection was not made below. That does seem to be the context in which intervention is permitted, and it stems from the same idea that we do argue here. So perhaps we'll end up sort of in the same analysis anyway, and the argument we do make is that the presumption doesn't exist unless the materials are filed.
Judge Lefkoe might have seen fit to grant the denial of the intervention when a case had been settled?
I don't know whether she would have, Your Honor.
Because the city didn't object, so.
That's right, we did not. But as I stated, it is possible we would have ended up in a similar discussion about whether the presumption should exist, whether filed or unfiled, should bear on whether the presumption exists.
Where's the plaintiff in this fight?
The plaintiff, Diane Bond, did settle the case, did not choose to take her claims all the way to trial. In the district court, I believe she participated in a very minor way in the briefing on the protective order, but has not participated in the appeal. From what we know, she did settle the case. However, her attorney was very involved at the district court level, did appear, to the extent he appeared in court with counsel for the interveners, the intervener, Mr. Calvin, and did appear below and did argue that the documents should be released, at least when it came up in the context of the alderman. And it's our understanding that, you know, Mr. Bond's attorney, he's the only one else in possession of the documents, and therefore, if there would be a release, it most likely would come from there.
So she's represented that she wants to release the material, or is this in the nature of a request for relief from the stipulated protective order, or exactly what was this procedurally?
Procedurally, it was on motion of the interveners, Mr. Calvin, for the protective order to be lifted as to certain documents. And by doing so, would allow Ms. Bond's attorney to divulge that information.
So the plaintiff's attorney, on behalf of his client, joined in the motion for modification or lifting of the protective order?
I don't believe so. Ms. Bond's attorney, the filing that was made in response to the motion to lift the protective order was simply to address a statement that the defendants had made in their filing in response to Mr. Calvin's motion regarding a videotape of Ms. Bond that the defendants believe showed her engaging in criminal activity. And Ms. Bond's attorney wrote a short paper in response just addressing that point.
And presumably wanting to maintain that in confidence?
There were certain materials that Ms. Bond did turn over under the protective order, which actually leads to another point, which is that in this court, although we believe it's a fair reading of the district court's order that the district court lifted the protective order in its entirety, in this court, the interveners do not seek to lift the protective order in its entirety. They seek only three things: the list of 662 police officers with more than 10 CR files in a five-year period, 01 to 06. The sublist from that list of those officers who were assigned to the Public Housing South Unit, and then a group of CR files, complaint register files, pertaining solely to the individual defendants in this case. So now the environment is much more limited even than it seemed to be by the district court.
Before we get to the specifics of all that, I'm really more interested in this threshold issue that Judge Keeney has raised and that I think hasn't been satisfactorily addressed yet. If it's true that there is no right of public access for the media or a member of the public or anyone else to have access to unfiled discovery materials, and this court has never held that those are public documents, judicial records that are accessible to the public or anybody else other than the parties, and neither has the Supreme Court, so far as I know, quite to the contrary. If there is no right of public access, and that is what this court concludes in this case, then that sort of is the end of it as far as the rest of the case is concerned, and we don't have to get into any kind of a good cause balancing, removing of a presumption, you know, doing the balancing ourselves or sending it back to the district court for a rebalancing of interest with the removal of the presumption. It's just over because there isn't anyone at that point asking for relief from the protective order that has standing to ask for relief from the protective order.
That's
why is that chain of events wrong? I assume you're going to say it's right.
I don't think it is wrong at all. I do think it's right, Your Honor. You're correct. We did not raise the argument below. We did not feel it was available to
this
us.
This is really an important threshold legal argument for us.
I agree,
Your
Honor.
We have to get to it. It goes to, you know, a standing to intervene issue, and it is the crux of the legal issue that's before this court.
I agree, and I also agree with Your Honor's reading of the cases that when intervention is granted, it has primarily or maybe exclusively been in a context where the documents were part of the judicial record. And the courts are very clear on that being a completely different set of events when the documents are filed. That does not
make it clear in this case. You provided documents to the plaintiff.
Correct.
So they have the documents as well as you.
Right.
Were they redacted at all when you gave it to the plaintiffs?
Some redactions might have been made as to the social security numbers of the police, things like that, but the names of the police officers were not redacted from the documents. Because, in fact, the protective order was in place, there was no need to fight about that. And so we turned over many, many, many documents in discovery, including the ones that are the focus of this appeal. And as I mentioned, now that we are on appeal, the request is more limited. So if this court were to conclude, at least at a minimum, the court should conclude that the lifting of the protective order would have to be limited only to what's being requested. But of course,
you know, this is the posture, as Judge Sykes is pointing out, is so backward in this case because we have intervener. The parties, at least one party, is not involved.
That's right.
Plaintiff's gone. And now we have interveners on a case that's been settled for documents that were not a public record.
I agree, Your Honor. It's certainly unusual and extraordinary and quite frustrating and unlike any other case we've seen in our research.
Has anybody made an Illinois Freedom of Information Act request for this material?
No, I don't believe so. I don't have that information. I just want to briefly address the issue of the presumption. I see I'm into my rebuttal time. As the district court recognized, neither the common law nor the First Amendment contain such a presumption to unfiled discovery materials. And although the court saw it in Rule 26, the district court saw that in Rule 26C, in the requirement that good cause should be shown to justify a protective order, that reading is unwarranted for unfiled documents. In fact, a presumption of public access to unfiled documents doesn't make any sense because they're not automatically available to the public. And we submit that the amendment to Rule 5 that we describe in our brief illustrates why this is so and supports our reading of Rule 26. And with that, I will reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mrs. Casper. Mr. Lobey?
Please, the Court. With due respect, Your Honors, this is not an unusual posture.
Never start out that way because you don't have respect.
Quite to the contrary, Your Honor. I have much respect for the Court. But the idea that journalists cannot intervene to obtain documents is not an unusual. It is not extraordinary. There's nothing out of the ordinary about it. There are many cases
documents
in this court.
In the public record.
Your Honor, to obtain discovery documents.
Documents. And what case supports that? We don't have any.
And, Your Honor, because they didn't raise that argument, that the intervention posture somehow changes good cause analysis, that wasn't raised. It wasn't briefed.
This goes to your client's standing to intervene in the case. So we have to address it.
And because they didn't raise it.
Standing is always, de novo for us, and we have to address it. So why don't you address it?
I will.
There is no right of public access to non-filed discovery materials, then there isn't any basis for the intervention here.
My only point about the fact that they didn't raise it was that's why there are no cases cited in our brief, because they didn't make that argument at all. And the reason they didn't make that argument is because the law is clear. Once we were granted the right to intervene without objection, then the analysis becomes Rule 26. And that's what Judge Lefkow applied. She said, we now have a party withstanding because he's been granted leave to intervene without objection. And by the way, the reason she granted leave to intervene was because all of the case law grants a journalist standing to intervene. It happens.
For filed documents. Documents that are in the public record. There isn't any case that stands for the proposition that a member of the public, a third party, can intervene and assert a right of access to unfiled discovery materials.
Again, Your Honor, that is what the cases that this court has held over and over and over again have held. Many of those involve the media.
Yes, they involve the media, but the media is seeking access to documents that were in the court record but subject to a protective order or some sort of a seal order so that they were inaccessible. All of those cases involved publicly available documents in the court file, and that analysis is very different. There is, of course, a presumption of public access to those.
Again, I must disagree. The Wilk case, the Grady case, those cases say even unfiled discovery. That's the Posner opinion, and First National Bank talks about unfiled discovery. This court would have to reverse.
Those are very limited decisions based on third-party litigants in parallel cases seeking access to the same discovery from a client whom those parties were litigating against in parallel proceedings in other courts. It's a very, very different proposition from what you're advancing here.
I must disagree. Judge Posner's opinion from First Citizen Bank says that even if there is no tradition of public access, the fact is unfiled discovery also is accessible to an intervener type posture if there is no good cause.
I'm not sure that's what that opinion says.
And
if it says that, it was disconnected from the context of that case, which was access to court records.
I will quote, there is, quote, a presumption of public access to discovery materials, and then it stops the quote, even if, quote, there is no tradition of public access to discovery materials, and then it goes on to explain not filed with the court and not relied on.
Right.
And where
that wasn't a holding, because the context of that case was outside access of third parties to court records.
And
so it was significantly overbroad language.
Taking a step back from it, this idea that there is no presumption of openness to unfiled discovery, I think the answer to that question, Your Honor, is Rule 26. Without Rule 26, and it's an emperor's new clothes argument. The plaintiff in Bond could have disseminated anything unless a district court determined that there was not good cause.
Right, but now you're talking about the rights of the parties, the First Amendment rights of the parties to disseminate information obtained in the discovery process. And that's what Rule 26 is directed at. It controls and provides for court control of the rights and duties and obligations of the parties to litigation. It doesn't speak to rights of third parties, the media, the public, anybody else. It's completely silent as to that. And so the interpretation of Rule 26 that you're advancing is simply one that the statute or the rule won't bear.
Actually, we aren't arguing that Judge Lefkoe had the right to order a third party, order the plaintiff to release it to a third party. What we're arguing is that Judge Lefkoe, making a discretionary discovery ruling, balanced the interest and said there is not good cause to keep these unfiled discovery documents secret.
But the plaintiff wasn't seeking relief from the protective order.
But that's the judge's ruling, because we intervened without objection and we had standing to make the argument.
Well, the intervention may have been improper, and if it was, because there is no right of third-party public access, media access to unfiled discovery materials, then all we've got is a non-existent battle between the plaintiff and the defendants, because the plaintiff has not asked for relief from the protective order.
It is a crucial premise to our argument that the press has standing to intervene in a case even after settlement, even long after settlement, and we believe strongly that although they didn't raise that argument and therefore we didn't get to show you cases, that is in fact the law. And once the press had standing and was granted leave without objection, there's a reason the city didn't object. The reason there was because we, as the press, were allowed to intervene. And once we intervened...
But then you get back to the presumption that non-filed documents are subject to review.
And, Your Honor, Rule 26 says exactly that, because they have to show good cause. Otherwise, Mr. Futterman, and that's all we're asking this court to uphold, was Judge Lefkoe's decision that Mr. Futterman is no longer bound from releasing them. He doesn't have to do anything, but Bonds counsel, there is no longer good cause to put a restriction on Bonds counsel. Rule 26, by its definition, has a presumption.
Yeah, but he's not in the case. So.
Well, he has the documents, and the protective order, the judge has made a discretionary ruling for which they aren't seriously contending she abused her discretion, and assuming the press has standing, and Your Honor, we'd be happy to address that issue. Maybe that's the best way to...
I don't think you're going to find anything. We've looked at it independently, and there isn't any support for that proposition.
Well, given that it wasn't raised and therefore wasn't responded to, we'd appreciate the opportunity if the court was inclined and wanted our input. We believe we can prove to Your Honor satisfaction that it is a bedrock principle of a representative democracy that the press has standing in exactly this kind of situation, including after a settlement, to come in and request documents. And then to make the arguments, and the city is welcome to say these are unfiled, and Judge Lefkoe said, I'm weighing the interests. I'm weighing the public interest against the private interest, and I determine that you have not met your burden under Rule 26C. And having not met your burden under 26C, there is no good cause to prevent Mr. Futterman from disseminating them. And that's all we're asking Your Honors to uphold, that there is no good cause to prevent Mr. Futterman from descending him. No more and no less.
But the plaintiff stipulated to this protective order in the context of discovery and has not asked for relief from it. And even assuming she had asked for relief from it, I'm not sure what basis there would be to permit her to withdraw from the stipulation following settlement.
Well, Ms. Bond's attorney supports our request, but even if both parties conspire in a way to say, like, we want to settle it, we want to take the money and nobody else gets it, that doesn't stop the press from intervening. And I'm not swimming upstream. I believe there is a strong body of case law that the press always has standing to intervene.
If the documents were in the public record, in the public domain, but unfiled discovery documents are in the private domain, they're not in the public domain. There may be some other avenue to get these documents because the records custodian is the city of Chicago, and,
to reach
Mara
that
George works for the city councilmen who have intervened on appeal, and they can fight it out politically, but that's not what this case is about.
Well, Your Honor, we believe we've proved each of the premises in our argument, that we absolutely had standing, and that once we got in with standing, we were entitled to challenge the protective order and to show that there was no good cause to prevent the dissemination, and there's not even a serious argument that Judge Lefkoe abused her discretion in finding that there is no longer good cause, and that's simply the ruling that should be affirmed. I see that I'm into the time for my co-counsel for the aldermen, and with that, I allow them. Thank you.
Thank you
for the opportunity.
Good morning, and may it please the court. My name is Kara Hendrickson, and I represent 28 Chicago aldermen in this matter. Your Honors, as you know, the aldermen have been granted leave to intervene with this court. The Seventh Circuit has granted us leave to intervene in front of Your Honors. And like Mr. Calvin, it is our position that the district court properly lifted the protective order as to the four categories of documents at issue and that the Corporation Counsel has not satisfied the good cause standard that is required to prevent disclosure of the documents. In addition to the strong interests of the media and Mr. Calvin that they bring to this case, Your Honors, the aldermen have unique and significant interests in obtaining access to these documents. The aldermen function as a form of oversight and the check over the Chicago Police
Counsel,
Department.
That's true, but why in litigation in a case that they had no involvement in the first place, why don't they just ask the city council or the council's office to provide it?
Your Honor, we agree that the aldermen should be able to call the Corporation Counsel, make a request, and be provided access to these documents. In fact, the Corporation Counsel indicated both to the district court and to this court that it would provide these documents to the aldermen, but unfortunately that is not what happened. The aldermen are in front of this court today because they are trying to do their job as diligently and responsibly as possible and explore every avenue possible to gain access to these documents.
How about an original lawsuit to gain access to it?
Your Honor, while there may be other avenues available to the aldermen to get these documents, it's not relevant to the analysis under Rule 26C. Under Rule 26C, the aldermen have a strong interest in obtaining these documents, and the city has not met its good cause burden under the rule.
But as I indicated earlier, this is sort of backdooring, trying to come in and shortcut a process if the aldermen sued the Corporation Counsel's office or however, whatever action they would take, freedom of information. That's a direct issue and has political overtones, but a direct issue between the aldermen and the Corporation Counsel's office and the city administration. To take a private litigation and then turn it into give us the, now we got a hook in there, give us the rest of the information, seems a little backward, as Judge Sykes talked about standing.
Your Honor, we believe that is entirely the purpose of Rule 26C, that the district court is given the authority to weigh the interest and to do the good cause analysis that is required before disclosure can be prevented under a protective order. So, Your Honor, we believe that this is a direct route to get access to these documents that the aldermen have important interests in.
But only if it's a legally protected interest, and I don't see how it is. The aldermen are before this court essentially as third parties to the litigation, as has already been pointed out. And if there is no right of third-party access to unfiled discovery materials and they don't have a legally protected interest to participate in any kind of a good cause weighing and balancing under Rule 26. That's between the parties to the litigation. Nobody that is a party to the litigation has asked for relief from the protective order.
Your Honor, we believe that is exactly what Rule 26C provides for, Mr. Calvin's counsel.
Of course, the rule doesn't say anything about that. This is an argument by implication.
But, Your Honor, without the rule, the rule indicates a presumption, though, in the federal
rules. The rule doesn't indicate any such presumption. That's gloss on your argument.
Your Honor, our position is that the good cause requirement indicates that in order to prevent disclosure, the party seeking to prevent disclosure must meet a burden, a presumption, whatever we want to call it, but they must meet the good cause standard in order to prevent disclosure of these documents. And although, as Your Honor pointed out, many of the cases involving media intervention are in factual situations that are different to this one, that is, that the documents had been publicly filed, other court cases of this court indicate that this court holds no difference, that there is no distinction between those cases and this one.
None of those cases involved unfiled discovery.
Your Honor, although they may not be factually on point, that is, the facts underlying those cases may not be on all fours with this one, certainly the language that this court uses...
The language has to be understood in the context of its facts. You know that.
Of course, Your Honor. My point is merely that the court in multiple cases has explicitly recognized the distinction that we're talking about today and has not imported significance to that distinction. Certainly not.
Actually, the cases have a great deal of language that draws a distinction between unfiled discovery documents and documents that have found their way into the public court record. And in fact, all of the cases in this circuit deal with documents that exist in the public court record that are subject to some sort of protective order or seal order and expressly disclaim any right of public access to unfiled discovery documents. Almost every single one of them do.
Well, Your Honor, it's our position that given the explicit language in Rule 26C, which requires a good cause showing, and
as between the parties, and that governs the parties' rights and obligations. And
yes, Your
Honor. We don't have a battle between the parties to this litigation anymore.
Yes, Your Honor. What we have is a body of case law that talks about the right to intervene in cases, as you've pointed out, often where materials have been publicly filed.
Always where materials have been publicly filed.
In addition, we have the cases that, when discussing this distinction, indicate that it's a distinction without a difference. And although I understand the facts before the courts in those cases were different than those, they are the closest guidance we have to the recognition of whether this distinction makes a difference. And then we have the language of Rule 26C, Your Honor, which we indicate requires a good cause showing. So for that reason, Your Honor, the Alderman requests that this is a discovery matter, that there's no indication that the district court abused its discretion, and we ask that it be affirmed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How much time? We have 4.5 minutes, Ms. Katzman.
Thank you, Your Honors. Just a couple of quick points in rebuttal. Mr. Calvin's counsel has stated that the city does not seriously contend that the district court abused its discretion, but of course we do. In fact, it is our position that the district court committed legal error in seeing a presumption in Rule 26 to unfiled documents. There were a few statements about some of the case law and the language in certain of this court's cases. There was a reference to Judge Posner's opinion, which I take to be the Citizens First decision. And as Judge Sykes pointed out, that decision, importantly, involved a party who wished to seal the appendix to their brief in the Court of Appeals. And that is akin, then, to offering a document to the court in support of a position and urging a decision on that point while trying to maintain that from public view. And that there's little support for that in this court's cases. It's a very high standard. In addition, the language of Citizens First that's been referred to by the interveners was, to the extent it means anything outside of what its facts should indicate that it means, was written before Rule 5 was amended. And as I sit here, I did not hear the interveners discuss Rule 5 at all or how the amendment impacts the analysis of Rule 26. As for the position of the aldermen in particular, as the court pointed out, they have other resources available to them.
Did you oppose their intervention?
No, the court granted their motion without a
you
response
didn't get a
from
chance
us.
To.
Well, we did not. We did not oppose it, having not opposed Calvin's intervention.
Which intervention are we talking about? The aldermen or
aldermen?
The aldermen on appeal.
All right. Well, you were already on appeal, right?
Right. We were on appeal, and they moved to intervene on
the appeal.
You're
talking about the motion in our court?
Correct. Yes. We did object in the district court because on a jurisdictional ground in the district court. But as Your Honors noted, there are other avenues available to the aldermen. And, in fact, what we think is telling is that when the aldermen acted when the city council acted in its official capacity, it made very clear what documents it believed should be in the public record. And the city council, acting in its official capacity, did respect officer privacy.
So those documents have been released. Was that with regard to the legislation pending before the
Yes.
City
as
council?
We did represent in the courts that we would provide the aldermen with some information, we did, in fact, do that. The Corporation Council provided documents, three of the lists, and the names of the officers were redacted in order to respect their privacy interests, and that is perfectly consistent with what the City Council, acting as an official legislative body, has determined is the appropriate scope of public access when it passed the legislation after it received those documents from the Corporation Council. If there are no further questions, we ask that the judge...
The City Council approved this settlement, I take it?
They did, Your Honor.
And there was no request in the context of that for any access
That's
to
correct.
Background materials?
Not for these particular documents that are being sought after.
How would that request have been handled if the whatever committee of the City Council is responsible for approving these settlements had asked for access to litigation documents?
Well, I think that the Corporation Counsel's office would provide the documents consistent with, you know, its professional obligations to its client in that case.
So in closed session, I assume.
Either in closed session or in a redacted form. But yes, there would be good reasons to respect officer privacy in that context.
And the city code, I assume, calls for closed session consideration of litigation decisions by the City Council?
I'm not familiar with a specific code provision on that, but if it exists, I will bring it to the court's attention.
The settlement was approved in any event.
The settlement of Ms. Bond's claims, yes.
Okay.
Thank you. We ask that the judgment be reversed.
Thanks to all counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.